I started to realize the music I liked, the movies I watched, the characters I identified with, or the things I need to kind of look at to shift moods. And I started to pick up on, like, these things are here for a reason. Your memories, the things that you look at to pull you out of stuff, those are forms of mentors without you knowing it, because they may start shifting your thinking. They might start shifting what you find possible.
All right, we're rolling. None illa. How's it going, brother?
It's good, man. How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. I'm super glad we got to chat. I know, like I told you before, we chatted a little bit before this. I was scrolling through your Twitter, and you've got a lot of stuff going on, man. But I'm curious, you know, I was listening to a little bit of the Mogul Minded podcast. That's your podcast mm-hmm. that you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of really awesome insight in there. So I'm just curious, walk us through like your story and how you kind of got to this point, like where kind of, you know, your experience came from that gave you this kind of knowledge. Because the reason I ask is a lot of people go through hard times mm-hmm. and there's only a few of us who can come out on the other side with the knowledge that we have and the positivity that we want to spread around. And so I'm just curious where you're at, brother.
Thank you. Honestly, where it came from for me is not having access, not having examples, not having mentors, and not realizing that I was blessed enough to be given the vision, you know, to be able to see that this is something that's relative, like it's something that we need, it's relevant in our lives, but never being taught that. So mm-hmm. after a while, going after degrees, like I started off within the music industry, really pushing and wanting to be an artist just for the passion of music. And then realizing, hey, as much as I'm around other artists, it didn't feel like they were on the same page when it came to being creatives. It was kind of like, be in the studio. No, we don't care what happens to our music. No, we don't care if we make it. No, like it was never a bigger picture. And then I just started to seek more information. And the more I sought information, I realized, I'm in these rooms people aren't in. And after a while, I kind of felt, I don't want to say I felt selfish, but I felt honored to be hearing certain conversations. And then I realized, then I'd come home and other people didn't know it. And so there was just one time this must have happened probably like 2009 or 10. It's been some years. And I just decided I wanted to be a light in a dark space. You know, you get in the music industry, you hear all the negative things. I'm like, I love music too much to hear all the rumors and negative things to deter me away from what I love and my passions. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. negative, cool. I'm going to, instead of trying to avoid the negativity, I became a little more bulletproof to reflect it. Because I'm like, negativity is going to be around. The social media, all the stuff's there. I wanted to find a way to project the positivity. So I just started it. I started Moment of Knowledge and I was just pushing that for years. The different platforms, it was on the Instagrams, the Twitters, and it just became a thing. And as I was doing that, my music passion never left. So I stayed working with music from the artistry side to helping behind the scenes, dealing with the business and just learning and learning and learning. And the more I started to dive deep, I started to get introduced to certain people. And then I started to just change between school, between learning. I started to change my understanding of what I was seeing. I used to just love the artist. I never stopped loving the artist, but then I started realizing the people behind the artist were the real golden people, the people nobody really knew. And that's when you mm-hmm. start to like, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. But then I noticed, okay, but Quincy Jones is a genius, right? And when you get to that status, usually those people are called moguls, right? And so Mogul Mind, my real name is Diamond. So Mogul Mind came from, I preach a lot of positivity. So I have a lot of different positive mini brands and other things to where I'm just always pushing positivity. And mm-hmm. it kind of felt like I had so many things and I was doing marketing. I was doing branding. I got my master's in marketing. So I was working in different agencies and there was just like 20 different directions I was going. And it got to a point to where I'm like, I'm going to stay with positivity. Yes, I know social media. Yes, I know dealing with like videography and stuff like that. But there's so many different like inklets, right? Yeah. They're like different stuff. And I'm like, something's missing. Yeah. The glue. There's some glue missing. And then I realized I'm really mogul focused. I'm mogul driven. I want to bring the positivity back to the community. And those who don't know, they need it. And so Mogul Mind came about. And the reason why it's spelled M-I-N-E-D is because when you hear it, you still hear mind. You hear the mind, you think of brain. But really, if there's gems being given in a mogul sense. That's why it's mogul mind, M-I-N-E-D, because you have to mind to get gems. And so I was able to kind of use that as the glue, you know, as the glue to bring everything together as the umbrella, because it's like I'm going to keep giving and helping. But mogul mind is where everything's going to fall under. So once I kind of got that, that's how the transformation continued to push through. So that's the basis of the formation of mogul mind.
Dude, I love that. You said something super interesting. I mean, you said a lot of things that were really interesting, but one I wanted to kind of come back to, I wrote down, was you said there was a lot of negativity. I mean, I feel like that's any industry. By the way, you just get like I'm in sales. I've been in sales and marketing too. I got my master's in finance, but I ended up in sales, you know, weird. But so there's a lot of negativity, but you said something really cool. It reminded me of the word resilience, right? Like you knew that it was always going to come. So you were going to set yourself up to like reflect that and like deflect that, I guess is what I should have said. But again, man, it's just, I talk to so many entrepreneurs and when I do my podcast, it's an amazing feeling. And then I get out into the world and I have real world conversations with people and they miss that where it's like, you know, I wish I could just destroy all the negativity in the world. And I'm like, I'm with you, but like, it's not going to go away. So how are you going to deal with it? You know?
Well, I mean, I learn every day. I have been able to travel a good amount of travel and run into a lot of different people, a lot of different walks of life, all age ranges, all ethnicities, all different cultures. One thing I learned is that, so I used to do years back, I used to take the first week off every year of social media and just detach. Do you know how hard that is when you deal with the music business and with marketing? I'm pretty sure, you know, with marketing.
That's terrible. It's hard.
So then I realized, all right, so you mean to tell me like I'm going to take the first 7 days off going into the new year, every year off? Then I'm like, okay, let me shape that a little bit. I'm going to do it to where only people can contact me for business. I wasn't able to do it after a while. As much as I try to get my mind right, you know, and then it got to a point to where, once again, learning constantly, I started to notice something. I started to pay attention. Even when I detach, people in my real life aren't detached. So I'm not detached because I can never necessarily steer away from an issue, because if something happens, what's the first thing someone's going to say? Did you hear? Did you see? No, I didn't. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Now it's in my mind because you just brought it to me. And so I just got to a point to where it's like, hey, the negativity is going to be there. And honestly, just like you said, it's in every field. One thing I try to really focus on is one thing about marketing, one thing about music. There's a lot of psychology in every aspect of life. As much as people try to segment off their industries, a lot of them are more alike than people tend to realize. And so I approach life that way. I started looking at things neutral. Everything, and it's just, it takes a lot of mind and mental mind state. Everything in the world is neutral. And depending on who you talk to, you can offend them when you say that. Everything in this world is neutral. It's your perspective that makes it positive or negative, what you take from it. Mm-hmm. But everything is neutral. Nothing comes with emotion. Nothing you see automatically has emotion to it. You can take anything to the most extreme and find a positive or negative in it. It just depends on how detached you are from the emotional connection to where you can actually look at it from a place of growth or a place of something that'll take you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's crazy is when I love hearing that. But what's crazy when you talk is like, why don't some people understand that? Like, you know, sometimes I get in that mind, you know, I kind of revert back to my, you know, my old self where I'm just like, why don't you just get like you want to shake people? Like, I don't understand why you don't get this. It's so easy. But you've been around a lot of, you know, you've influenced a lot of people. I'm assuming now, like you had mentioned earlier, you didn't have a lot of those mentors growing up, but you've been able to be a mentor to some people. How do you help them? What kind of thought processes do you take them through to help them get that?
Honestly, just the realization. One of the first things I try to get people to understand is you have to unlearn what you know. And I think that's the hardest thing, because everyone is built with a belief system and they don't know it. That belief system can be harmful to you. And I say that because no one as a child chose the path they're on or path they want to be on. And so religions, different places of the country you're born in, your parents, your environment, all those things shape you. What you watched, what you've read, all that stuff shapes you at a certain point. And depending on how aggressive it was, you automatically enter every conversation thinking you're right and thinking everyone else is wrong because they have a different perspective. And so the people I mentor, there's a lot of challenging involved. Even when they're calling me in this event session, okay, I'm not taking your side, but what do you get from this? What do you see from it? Because I take my lessons in life and I'm able to kind of run them on a parallel to where I'm taking something from it. Even the hostile interactions, like something hurt that person, something affected them, something made them walk up to you acting the way they do. And it's probably not even something they know. It was so subconscious because of their perception of what they already knew prior to meeting you. And so when I'm mentoring, there's always deeper things, because a lot of times it's so easy for us to say, well, it's about me. It's about me. I'm the reason for this, or this is the reason this is happening. And it's like, chances are you walked into a situation at the wrong time, or you caught a wrong part of someone's day, or you happen to stumble on some wrong luck, and you just are too attached to it to see where you could learn from it. So I'm about the learning aspect, you know, and even then, kind of highlighting what you said, I didn't have mentors, so I had to find a way to create them. You know, I had to find out.
Yeah.
I had to first find out what a mentor was, and I had to shake some of the things I was taught previously, because, you know, some people are the holy grail in many eyes, right? Some people, no matter what they do to you, no matter how they treat you, they're right. That's how you're supposed to get, or you deserve this, or what do you do wrong? There's so many different thoughts that go in your head. And for me, it was constantly figuring out what I didn't have access to and trying to figure out how to just get things. I started to really I tend to look at things from like 6-7 different perspectives to really dissect things. I mean, I was a kid that took apart radios to see how they worked, see how clocks worked when they were younger. Like, that was just me. I want to see, I want to take it down, and then it makes sense when I build it up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love this conversation. I don't know how we met. It was fate for sure, brother, but I'm super glad, because one thing I love talking about is like creating mentors in your life. So like, what's funny is a lot of my mentors in life never knew they were my mentors. So I got a lot from books. Like, I grew up in a really poor part of the country in Iowa. So like books, or like authors, or, you know, certain personalities on social media. And then you kind of like, I love how one thing stepped to another. So how did you create your mentors? How did you realize, like, you know, I really want to learn from this person, or what drew you to certain people?
Life.
Yeah.
Honestly, watching things shift. When I was younger, so I was originally raised in the Bay Area. I lost my grandmother when I was younger. She had a stroke and ended up going in a coma, and I was presented with the option: do you want to stay up here, like, with your mom's side of the family is up there, or do you just kind of want to go down to Southern California and spend some time with your dad. And in that decision, I chose to go down with my dad. Not knowing about traumas and everything. I was like 13, 14. Not knowing about anything else deeper than that. I never even knew my passion for music was already there. When I was younger, I did a little rapping, like, you know, the Bone Thugs, all the stuff when you rap along to your favorite songs. But I remember taking a poetry course or taking an English class, and he did a poet, a poem, poetry thing. And I wrote a poem, first poem I ever wrote. And the teacher was like, you know how they have certain class assignments. And the teacher, I think she said, hey, we're going to submit it to some kind of national thing. And it was like 1,000 people or 10,000 or something, something crazy like that. I think it was 10,000. And then I got to like the top 500 in my first poem ever. Then I got to like the top 100. And once again, I'm in school. I didn't care less. I'm like, whatever. Then I was in the top 18 and they asked to fly me out to Florida. And I'm like, I can't go out of school, Florida. How am I going to get there? I didn't even go out there. I don't remember what number I ended up eventually placing. It might have even hit top 10, but I didn't go. And I just remember seeing the comments because it was online. This was like the early stages of the internet. And one person said my poem changed their life. And I'm just like, okay, this is just a poem. It's my first poem. I don't think. And they're like, oh, this poem means something deeper to me. And I'm like, okay. And I just started to realize these outlets that we had. You know, these outlets we had access to. And then I always, like I said, I deconstruct. So there's a lot of hindsight that happens. So I started to realize the music I liked, the movies I watched, the characters I identified with, or the things I need to kind of look at to shift moods. And I started to pick up on, like, there are certain, these things are here for a reason. Your memories, the things that you look at to pull you out of stuff, those are forms of mentors without you knowing it, because they may start shifting your thinking. They might start shifting what you find possible. And growing and constantly growing and finding things to get better. Even when I finally decided, hey, I really wanted to fast forward, I ended up getting into rap. And as I was rapping, I'm like coming in new, and I had a couple people who were like, you'll never be as good as me, like family and stuff, who I started off with. And it was a challenge in my head. So I wrote more. I would look at certain artists and I'd see their like styles and techniques. And then I'd like listen to songs a little closer. And all of that watched me start to elevate. And I'm like, this isn't something I'm doing on my own. So the more I started to do this, I started to look into these different avenues and techniques, and eventually I ended up, like, some of the high school teachers I had, like, some were just, you know, I was raised in the hood, I was raised in the ghetto, that I always had stuff going on, no big deal, but like there were certain teachers, like, I know we always watch in the movies, like, there's teachers that, hey, this person changed some things. There were certain teachers that I won't forget, and I would, and mainly because, dude, there's a fight outside right now, there's this situation to where I'm like, I'm smart. I know this problem, but I'm being challenged to push farther, or being asked questions left and right, or me challenging things. I was in a math class and they, the teacher got mad because, have you heard of the Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah.
Everyone's heard of the Pythagorean theorem, right? So I came up with my own theorem, kind of playing off the word a little bit. And I laughed because people took me as a jokester with certain things. But the theorem I came up with, the math teacher couldn't disprove it. And it was interesting because he was trying to disprove it in front of the class. But I came up with a theorem and it bounced off of some of that foundation. And what I was learning was these same people who are inspiring me are just people who, as I got older, these are people who have lives, they have trouble coming at home, and they come here and they make a difference here. They come to this school and they make a difference here. When I got to college, I had a couple professors, and I had like a music lawyer, and this dude, he started the class like this. He said, everyone gets an A. If you just come to class, I'm going to give you all the answers. Just pay attention. I'll give you the answers every class. He said, I don't care about your grade. He said, I want you to learn something. And we would go over contracts and I'd be raising my hand and digging deeper in questions. And it just, it wasn't even about the grade, but the more I started to learn, I'm like, this is curving my intellect. This is making me want to dive deeper. And it's something to where, hey, I already loved it. I've been in the studio for years. I've been working with different artists and creating songs, but now I'm being taught so much more to it. I'm being told stories to where the average fan doesn't understand the depth of what's happening with these artists. They just hear a song or they think this. So it started to, like, between books, between the stuff I was already involved in. I even tell people, like, people who don't like to read, I'm like, that's fine. Go find the person you look up to, right? Like, let's say you like an artist, musicians. I'm like, you don't like to read? Fine. Go find the artist you look up to. Go read the book about them. Because when you dive into that book and you're like, oh, you're consumed with the reading aspect. So sometimes it triggers the idea of going to pick up another book. You might find five or six books about that person. And now all of a sudden your passion for that person is turning into your passion to reading, you know? So sometimes I dissected, like, I allow myself to find so much more life and having an open mind and trying to grow.
Yeah, I love that. That is a similar experience to, like, how I started to learn how to read, like, how I fell in love with reading was all the books they made us read in high school were just terrible. And I took a break between when I graduated high school and when I went to college. And it was crazy because I look back and I'm like, man, I hated every book they tried to make me read. I hated it all. And then I picked up a self-help book. Like, the first book I think I read was The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was like, holy cow, this is a great book. I was like, this is an awesome book. Like, Norman Vincent Peale. And I was like, this is amazing. And then that was it. I was like, I actually love reading. I'm like, this is insane. Right. And I was like, oh my gosh, man. You just do that. Let me ask you a question. I like kind of diving into this topic. You got your master's in marketing. Did that, because now we're in this kind of environment where, like, you have, like, college bashers, right? Like, don't go to college or whatever. And, like, a lot of people in the sales and marketing space, kind of shun the degrees of, like, sales and marketing. I want to get your thoughts on, like, how you view your degree now. Like, would you do it again? Do you tell people to go get their degree? How do you view that now?
I would definitely tell you to get your degree if it works for you. The reason why is because there's a lot that comes with a degree to me. A lot of people think they understand marketing. And a lot of people's understanding marketing comes from tidbits they've either experimented or, like, maybe a YouTube situation or whatever the case. But I'll compare it. I like analogy. So I'll compare it to streaming versus record stores. Okay. So streaming, you search for what you want to hear. You also see what's pushed. You also see what's pushed in front of you. But the one thing you don't have is the art of discovery. If you go to a record store, you're thumbing through stuff and you get to go, what's this? And you get to learn. When you're doing your degree, you tend to learn why and how and when and where. You get to learn those about the same topic, because you can apply something, but if you don't know why you need it or the method behind it or the reason it needs to be applied or how it connects to everything else, you do yourself an injustice. Because I've worked for two marketing agencies and I loved what I was doing. I mean, the thing is, I was a copywriter going into and working with marketing agencies, but my expertise allowed me to be a lethal copywriter because I knew video, I knew graphic design, I already knew the sales and marketing aspect of things. And I've been dealing with all kind of the psychology and dealing with clients so much in my career prior, between dealing with the music industry and dealing with the other jobs I actually had. For me, I was doing everything my counterparts were, but even when I wasn't doing it, I was able to give them the best stuff for their position. so we worked better as a team. I feel a lot of people now, they can get indoors. They can get in whatever room they want, but they're replaceable by everyone else who can get in that room. They're not irreplaceable because they don't know how to stay in the room. Like if you throw them a curveball, they're going to strike out. They just figure fastball automatically is going, I'm getting it. That's fine. But with everything, doing something is easy. Doing anything you want is easy. The only time you're tested is when there's fire you have to put out. Like you can start anything you want, but it's not until the fire starts to where you have to figure out how to put it out. And unless you're skilled in those areas, you're just, that's when you start Googling and start to figure out because you've never experienced it. So I think a degree gives you that training to where it's a different level of, you know, but experience helps. But the thing is, even now with the degrees now with marketing, you can just get a digital marketing degree. I didn't go digital marketing degree because I wanted to know the foundation of marketing. I want to know the different tactics. I wanted to know why these came. So when I learned the digital aspects, oh, I got how we got to point T. I didn't know everything before. So people who start off at the last part of it, everything before is so foreign to them. It's like you can't strip it down because you're just, okay, Facebook is changing algorithms and Instagram is changing algorithms. And do you not know how to grab an audience? If you don't know how to grab an audience, those algorithms mean nothing to you. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you know how to grab an audience, those algorithms mean nothing to you. But if you're basing your whole career off of shifting every time the tides shift, then you're doing yourself a disservice and your clients because you're basing your whole value based on what's in now. You can't predict where it's going because you have no knowledge of where it's been.
Yeah, dude, I love that because I'm not a college, but I mean, obviously I'm not, right. I have a degree. I, you know, we've got a master's too, but you know, what's crazy is I play both sides of the fence. I'm kind of in the camp that you're in, right? Like you go like, if it's right for you, then go for it. My master's meant everything to me. It was a goal of mine since I was little and I figured out a way to do it. But you know what? You're right though. Cause it did kind of expand my problem solving skills and it expanded like, you know, you just catch those nuances that you don't get when you, I like how you phrase that, right? When you start at T or whatever, right? Like when you started in the trend, you don't get a lot of, you miss all of like how we got there. And it's a great asset on your team to have somebody who can be like, everything is falling apart. Like, what are we going to do? And you remember something like it's super old school. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's try it because we got nothing else. And it ends up working. And it's one of these things that like, you'd have never known if you didn't try these things or like go to school for it. Right. Like I just don't, you know, I've never been in the camp that to really like bash formal education.
Well, and to me too, once again, kind of preaching to the fact that, hey, like I'm a younger black male. I'm gonna just be straightforward. There's a lot of rooms. There's a lot of rooms I'm in that 90% of the room doesn't want me in. So when I come in with the proper accolades, the credentials and the resume, they don't have that excuse to kick me out. So when they learn something from that and they automatically say, okay, he knows what he's talking about. It's different than me coming in and saying, check my Twitter followers, check my Instagram followers. Like even I know some verified accounts. I know some women who use sex to sell their image. They have how many million followers? Okay. Do I want that person telling me how to get their metrics up? No, they use their photo shoots to get followers. They use whatever else they use to get followers. They're not going to be able to break down a technique for me just because they have more followers. They're not going to be able to sit in and say, hey, this is how I do it. This is how I did it. One example I'll give some of the artists I mentor and producers, when I was telling them, we're talking contracts. And I say, you know, the one interesting thing is that I always find is that these artists, well-known artists, now do record labels and people run to these people's record labels. And I'm like, if you're a smart artist, you probably have a team, But if you're an artist trying to put people on and you handle it, I wouldn't trust it, because you aren't even the reason you became successful. You had some people behind you who did some stuff and you were the face of it, but you don't know what it took to get you there. So how are you going to build an army of people to get there when you don't know what to do? So it's the same way that I look at like a lot of new people. It's not that I am hating on your hustle. No, I love hustling. Like, do what you got to do. Like, anybody who wants to win, I support it. But I'm not going to fault anyone's techniques, because realistically, yes, the norm and what needs to be the standard constantly shifts. You don't need a formal degree. No, you can go ahead and train yourself, but the one thing a degree on a resume to me says to me is, okay, I don't have to question whether or not you put in the work. Now, if you tell me you spent 40 hours studying on YouTube and Skillshare and the other ones like that, I don't know what you looked at. I don't know who you followed. I don't know what techniques you really learned. I don't know, like, I have to dig deeper into that, because if I'm looking at both resumes and both people have held positions or have done stuff to whatever, yes, I'm going to look at your portfolio, fine. But at the same time, I am dissecting that with a fine tooth comb, because I know, you know how easy it is to copy artwork. You know how easy it is for someone to say they're an illustrator and you can copy a picture and take it into Procreate or Illustrator or Photoshop and trace it and color it. And now, like, that means I can't depend on you to make me something from scratch. Like, your mind does not formulate how to create something new because you've been copying everyone else's formula, versus me going to someone who is an artist that came out of a school, because the techniques they've learned from these different teachers, the portfolio they built up in these classes, lets me know they understand why you have to use grids to draw a certain way. They understand the eye you have to have. Like, there's just a different level of testing the mechanics to get to the final solution. Most people now judge on the final solution. And it's like, it's nothing wrong with that until your company comes crumbling based on you building your worth on your assumption to what this person knows. So,
wow, dude. Yeah.
That's the only differentiating factor for me. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like the saying, like, they asked the question, would you want your doctor to be a C-level student? I don't care if he's a C-level student. Yeah. How did he went to school for it, right? Yeah. I wouldn't want to take a doctor that told me, hey, yo, I've been watching some TV shows. I see what they do in the ER. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, nah, I'm sorry, you're not doing my surgery. Yeah. I don't care how many hours of TV you put in. I don't trust it. Yeah. So when my passion is art and my passion is creativity, I treat that to the same level doctors treat the medical practice. I treat, you know what I mean? Like, if we're working together, how valuable are you? Because I cut people from my resources and I also build valuable resources. Because, hey, if I send you to go work with someone who trusts in my opinion, I got to trust the person I'm sending over. I can walk away from and not have any issues. So it's a lot you know, I look at both sides. You don't need it. I just figure it gives you a kind of structure that where you might be able to execute and stuff.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I love that thought process and that dialogue, because it's true. Like, there's so much you can learn, and I, you know, I really enjoyed your story too. I love your podcast. I love your Twitter, man, and everything like that. Hey, before, you know, this has been an amazing conversation. I've really enjoyed the whole entire thing. Before I let you go though, where can everybody follow you? How can everybody find you and get a hold of you and all that good stuff, boss?
You can follow me at NONE_ILLA. That's none_illa, or noneilla.com. Man, look, thank you for having me through. I want to say this to your listeners. You can do whatever you want. Just remember, there's no right or wrong answer, but challenge yourself to continue to grow. If you continue growing and you question to learn everything, you're going to be a beast in whatever you choose, your passions.
Amen. I love it, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.